produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Breaking news today from the Normal Foundation in Washington, D.C. Marijuana arrests for year 2005, 786,545, tops record high. Pot smokers arrested in America at a rate of 1 every 40 seconds. Police arrested an estimated 786,545 persons for marijuana violations in 2005, according to the Federal Bureau of Investigation's annual Uniform Crime Report released today. The total is the highest ever recorded by the FBI and comprised 42.6% of all drug arrests in the United States. Quote, "These numbers belie the myth that police do not target and arrest minor marijuana offenders," close quote, said Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre, who noted that at current rates, a marijuana smoker is arrested every 40 seconds in America. Quote, "This effort is a tremendous waste of criminal justice resources that diverts law enforcement personnel away from focusing on serious and violent crime, including the war on terrorism," close quote. Of those charged with marijuana violations, approximately 88%, some 696,074 Americans, were charged with possession only. The remaining 90,471 individuals were charged with, quote, "sale manufacture," close quote, a category that includes all cultivation offenses, even those where the marijuana was being grown for personal or medical use. In past years, roughly 30% of those arrested were aged 19 or younger. Quote, "Present policies have done little, if anything, to decrease marijuana's availability or dissuade youth from trying it," close quote, Alan St. Pierre said, noting that young people in the U.S. now frequently report that they have easier access to pot than alcohol or tobacco. The total number of marijuana arrests in the U.S. for 2005 far exceeded the total number of arrests in the U.S. for all violent crimes combined, including murder, manslaughter, forcible rape, robbery, and aggravated assault. Annual marijuana arrests have more than doubled since the early 1990s. Quote, "Arresting hundreds of thousands of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly needlessly destroys the lives of otherwise law-abiding citizens," close quote, St. Pierre said, adding that over 8 million Americans have been arrested on marijuana charges in the past decade. During this same time, arrests for cocaine and heroin have declined sharply, implying that increased enforcement of marijuana laws is being achieved at the expense of enforcing laws against the possession and trafficking of more dangerous drugs. St. Pierre concluded, quote, "Enforcing marijuana prohibition costs taxpayers between $10 billion and $12 billion annually and has led to the arrest of nearly 18 million Americans. Nevertheless, some 94 million Americans acknowledge having used marijuana during their lives. It makes no sense to continue to treat nearly half of all Americans as criminals for their use of a substance that poses no greater and arguably far fewer health risks than alcohol or tobacco. A better and more sensible solution would be to tax and regulate cannabis in a manner similar to alcohol and tobacco," close quote. Marijuana arrest numbers for the past 4 years include 2002, 697,082, 2003, 755,187. 2004, 771,608. And 2005 at 786,545. We have links for more information about this report. For a comprehensive breakdown and analysis of U.S. marijuana arrests, please see Normal's report, Crimes of Indiscretion, Marijuana Arrests in the United States. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. We've assembled a spectacular stash of audio for our Monday activism show today. Let's start off with this interview from Students for Sensible Drug Policy's Chris Crane. Tomorrow, Congress could decide to search American students for drugs even more frequently. Chris Crane is the director of Students for Sensible Drug Policy. Chris, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks for having me back on.
Chris, tell us about this congressional vote tomorrow that could really impact every student in America.
That's right. There's going to be a vote on a bill tomorrow called the Student and Teacher Safety Act of 2006. What this deceptively titled bill would actually do is allow teachers and school administrators and police officers to search groups of students on mere suspicion in public schools in the United States, meaning that if a teacher has reasonable suspicion that some student, even if they don't know which student, is in possession of drugs in school, they can then go and search 100 students or 200 students or the entire student body if they would like to do so.
And how will this change what's going on in schools?
Well, right now, local school districts have the power to determine what their policy will be on searches for drugs in their schools. What this bill would do, it would mandate that any school that receives federal funding have a policy in place allowing these types of searches. So it's Congress coming in with a heavy hand saying that every school district in America has to have this policy in place. I should note, the kind of rationale that led to the Goose Creek incident a couple of years ago in South Carolina, where a school principal called local police in. They searched every student in the school. They pointed guns at the students' faces, and they found absolutely no drugs. And, in fact, there was a lawsuit filed in that case where the school district was forced to pay out over $1.6 million to these students who were searched, and the principal resigned. What Congress is doing with this bill is making it far more likely that we'll see more of these instances.
Chris, this sounds like just another way to take American students' basic rights away when they walk into school.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that there's been a concerted effort, particularly by members of Congress, to reduce the number of constitutional rights that students have in school. You know, when it comes to locker searches, school searches such as these, random student drug testing for students participating in extracurricular activities, students are being sent the message that they are not full citizens of the United States and that they do not have the same constitutional rights that others have. We, in particular in SSDP, think that this is wrong. We think that students should be treated with the same respect that other citizens are treated with, and should not be taught that they are guilty until proven innocent and should be considered suspects at all times.
Now, Chris, if you're under 18, of course, you don't get the chance to vote for these congressional reps, but that doesn't mean everyone of every age can't get involved.
Absolutely. Well, we're strongly encouraging everybody to sign on today to schoolsnotprisons.com. We'll have an action alert linked from the front page of our website, where anybody, be it students or non-students, anybody who's outraged at this type of legislation, can click on the link and send a pre-written letter to their member of Congress. If they want to do more, there'll also be instructions there on how they can call their member of Congress, and express opposition to this. It should be noted, this bill is being fast-tracked. This bill has skipped through the entire committee process. It's not being voted on in committee. It's going directly to the House floor, and we expect a vote on it tomorrow afternoon. Now, the silver lining to that is because of a parliamentary rule, when they skip the committee process in Congress, they now need two-thirds of the votes on the House floor in order for this to pass. So it makes us much more optimistic that we're going to be able to defeat this bill on the House floor. But we're not going to be able to do it unless concerned citizens, students, and otherwise contact their members of Congress and tell them to oppose this dangerous piece of legislation.
And Chris, what are some good talking points for students expressing their opposition to this today or tomorrow?
I think some really good things to mention would be number one, that this would dramatically increase the power of teachers and school administrators to search massive amounts of students without any suspicion that most of these students are in possession of anything. And it simply sends the message that all students are treated as suspects and are guilty until proven innocent. It's also important, particularly if you have a Republican member of Congress, to stress that this is really a heavy-handed move by Washington, D.C., and it's a message that Congress is trying to say that they know better than principals and teachers how to keep their own schools drug-free. This is a violation of our principles of federalism, where the federal government is coming in and telling teachers and principals how to do their jobs. And if they want, if they want to see support from national organizations that oppose this, both the American Association of School Administrators and the National School Boards Association have issued statements in opposition to this bill. And as I was doing this interview with you, I literally just got word that the national PTA has come out in opposition to this as well.
Wow. So all of the most recognized parent and teacher associations coming out against this bill.
That's right. I think teacher organizations, PTA organizations, and national education organizations, for the most part, and there have been some that have supported this bill, but for the most part, they understand that teachers and principals and local school boards have a better understanding of how to deal with drug issues in their schools than Congress does. And that Congress should not be coming in and mandating that every school in America have a policy that simply is not effective.
We have links up on our website and also the Capitol switchboard telephone number, and that's where students should really be making their voices heard today and tomorrow.
Absolutely. Anybody who's interested in this, if they would like to call their congressional office, which is always more effective than simply sending a letter, they can call the Capitol switchboard. Give your address, and they will connect you directly to your representative's office and simply let them know that you oppose the so-called Student and Teacher Safety Act of 2006.
Chris Crane is the director of Students for Sensible Drug Policy. Chris, thanks again for joining us here today, and I look forward to speaking with you later this week after the vote.
Thank you very much, and I certainly appreciate the support here, and hope that we're able to generate some opposition to a truly dangerous bill here.
Now let's get to our first track today from Boston Freedom Rally Bands. Here's Primary Others with this track, Speak Out. We have links to Primary Others at normalaudiostash.com.
I'm handling business, just watching my plan is the biggest. Hot walking and damaging rhythms, phenomenal rocking, I'm giving them. We ready for just about anything, we steadily stirring the recipe. So heavy we're blending the chemistry, power move molecules, stopping the enemy. It better be hitting, no diggity, give me the riff and it's written spelicity. Beginners be getting a spidgety, women who pretty, they really be feeling me. I'm better and clever with similes, pleasure with metaphors deep like the river beat. The busiest bee in the winter tree, looking for living and lessons like it to me.
No one's listening to a word I say, maybe we can live day by day. Nobody said I'd turn out this way, but I know while I go, I remain okay. No one's listening to a word I say. Maybe we can live day by day. Nobody said I'd turn out this way, but I know while I go, I remain okay.
I'm hungry and looking for breakfast. Ganesha hang out on my necklace. catching my obstacles, unstoppable, helping me find all my exits, helping me drop dead weight, setting straight. Today's the day that living is living and visions are given and making me feel like it's okay. So say what you're saying, you'll make it, be patient, I swear. The fair will leave, you'll be waving in tears. Deaf people hear when blind people stare. Do you really care? Mentioning things we cleverly bring. Endings begin, I said we could sing. Sent to the heavens with gentle weapons, we made to be strong. It didn't take long.
No one's listening to a word I say. Maybe we could live day by day.
Why not?
Nobody said I'd turn out this way. But I know what I do, what I need, okay. No one's listening to a word I say. Maybe we could live day by day.
Why not?
Nobody said I'd turn out this way. But I know.
Primary Others, a band who played on stage at Boston's Freedom Rally last Saturday. We have links to them at normalaudiostash.com. Next up today, it's time to check in with one of Normal's campus chapters. Up next, we'll find out how normal Florida really is. Corrine Bowes is an activist at the Florida Atlantic University campus chapter of Florida Normal. Corrine, thanks for joining us today here on the Audio Stash.
Hello, Mr. Chris. How are you? Nice to hear from you again.
Doing great here. Thank you. Thanks again for joining us today. First, tell us how the tour went last week with Normal's founder, Keith Strupp.
It was a great, great success for us as a four-year chapter to welcome back the founder of Normal. We had a great turnout. We've been advertising, like I said, for the previous 3 weeks. And with all the help of a lot of freshmen, a lot of new students, and the old members, who were able to get 100 plus people to come out and hear Keith speak that evening. It was a great, great speech. It was a great address.
And this is leading to a very active fall for you at the Florida Atlantic University, Normal. Tell us about what's coming up.
What's coming up is this. We are actually, like I said, trying to keep in having a featured speaker for each campus. For each month. And next month we are trying to bring Micah Daigle, the field director for Students for Sensible Drug Policy, down. He scheduled some dates at some schools that don't currently have Normal chapters or SSDP chapters that are just getting started. So we're trying to include him as a part of our tour to get our activism training done. He offers one day as a speaker and also a secondary day that he stays over to train all the members in activism and train them how to actually speak to the consumer or just, you know, the public. So we're really looking forward to getting some training days in, to getting another organization to come and speak to our members, and that's going to be a big turnout as well.
Corrine, it sounds like you have a pretty big chapter going on right now.
Right now, I personally have seen an addition of 60 new members, just about 60, you know, somewhere between 45 to 50 people that have come back to us from last year. The meeting that we had on Thursday reflected about 90% new membership and 10% old membership because of class scheduling conflicts, the meeting. But we're still recruiting. We, like I said, try and reach out to the campus base every day. And what I'm doing right now is working on some projects off-site to really inform the community around us. We're trying to get into some volunteerism on this end for, like, the is having a project up north of us, and as well as some Red Cross training to see if we can't get some volunteer hours on people's resumes, as well as get the normal name out into the local community so that they can, you know, feel welcome to come to our meetings. And that's working so far. A lot of people that came to the meeting last week, like I said, brand new to school. Some of them weren't even in school. Some of them had been invited by their friends. So we welcome everybody from the community. It's always open to the public at all the public universities to come to the meeting. So we look forward to having a big turnout for the next few weeks just based on that, and then also advertising our speakers. We're trying to get somebody from the medical community to come out, somebody from federal government to come and speak in a heads versus feds debate. They're actually holding one this week on Wednesday in Stetson, up further north of us. So we're really just kind of trying to utilize each other and, you know, get the ideas flowing, also to just nail down the opportunities that we have for us right now. Right now we have a lot of speakers that are available that are, you know, willing to travel for less than their honorarium costs and basically, you know, have a back to college visit. When he came down here, he found himself staying over at students' houses, as well as being carpooled back and forth from different schools by the students themselves. So that cuts down on costs and helps us to further our program.
And Corrine, when you talk about volunteering in the surrounding community, how much does the campus reflect the surrounding community's attitudes?
Right now, we're really trying to gauge the community's attitude towards us. We have had some positive feedback from people that have seen us just based on our sharing days with other events. You know, we have a lot of I believe that there are concert series that are at FAU. We also have some elder classes that are around the same area that we hold our meetings. So we pass by people that notice us and stop us and ask us, you know, what we're doing, and they find, you know, it's surprising that we're able to hold these meetings on campus. And, you know, we have seen them come back and try and touch base with us. What we're trying to do as far as the community awareness is, before this year, Florida Atlantic is really just trying to establish themselves, trying to build their base as a chapter and get good membership numbers going. Right now, we're trying to convert those members coming to meetings into projects in various parts. Like, we have West Palm Beach available to us, as well as Dade, Broward, and Miami. Each of those counties have had volunteers out on campus in the last week to invite us to the organization, to train us, to help us get out there in the community. So what I'm doing is contacting those volunteer organizations to sign up some of our members that would like to stay work for the Tri-County Humane Society. Like I said before, the Red Cross is doing a training with groups where they would train the groups for free as long as we volunteer 4 to 6 hours a year after a disaster, which, you know, all of us down here in South Florida have always been aware of the need for volunteers, especially during hurricane season. We're all basically sitting at home doing nothing anyway, so we'd be more than happy to help out, you know, pass out water, man shelters, feed people, and get involved that way.
Well, Corrine, have fun down there this Monday, and thanks again for joining us here today on the Audio Stash.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. You too. You guys have a great week out there, and be normal.
Corrine Bowes is an activist with the Florida Atlantic University chapter of Florida Normal. We have links to their chapter at normalaudiostash.com. We have links to FAU Normal at normalaudiostash.com. Let's round out our Monday show today with some Boston Freedom Rally music. Here's the group Darkbuster, who put on a totally high-energy performance.
Can't stop rocking. Rudy is a rude, rude boy. I'm gonna tell y'all something shocking. Rudy is a rude, rude boy. I said, now Rudy. Rudy is a rude, rude boy. Well, now Rudy. Rudy is a rude, rude boy. Tonight, there's gonna be some trouble into the city. Yeah, tonight, all kinds of trouble. No one's gonna left alone. Tonight, there's gonna be a breakout into the city zone. Yeah, tonight, all systems break out.
No one's gonna left alone. I said, Nana Rudy. Rudy's a rude, rude boy. Yeah, Nana Rudy. Rudy's a rude, rude boy.
Darkbuster. We have links to them at normalaudiostash.com.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
This has been NORML's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.